Lucius Allen has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Again, had an All-American career at UCLA, went on to play for 10 years in the NBA and also won a championship there when he was playing with Milwaukee. We'll talk to him about that in just a second. Tell me about the first time you met John Wooden.
Well, I met Coach Wooden, as I say, at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes camp, basketball camp. It was my first time coming in contact with him, and I was in awe. Because they had just beaten a pretty talented team in University of Michigan and another pretty talented team in Duke in the Final Four, and they weren't supposed to win. They beat teams that were averaging 6-10. So I was in awe of this guy. And when I came to UCLA on that plane, Lewis and I both went to the office where we formally sat down and met Coach Wooden. And that's where we first experienced the pyramid of success mentality that was going to dominate us for the rest of our lives.
You know, one of the things that I found interesting about Coach Wooden is that I found him to be dogmatic, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I always felt that he knew how to push the buttons at the right time on the right players, and that is a special art. What do you think made him so good at motivation and also execution?
Well, what people don't realize is Coach Wooden was a master psychiatrist or psychiatric. He instinctively knew how to force you into doing what he wanted to do. In my case, it was terror. I was so afraid of not playing minutes that Coach knew that if I got out of line, he'd just take my minutes of playing time away. Obviously, with a Lou Alcindor, he had to use a different approach, and that was through Lewis's mother. All right, Lewis, I think I'll call you mother, and you know, that terrified Lewis, so he fell into line that way. So all of us had our buttons, and the coach, he was a mastermind at it. And, you know, it was when I look back on it, Coach Wooden, first meeting, he's sitting in his office behind his desk, and we come in, and it's kind of like Jesus and the disciples, you know what I mean? There's Jesus, and he's sitting up above, and he's got a halo around his head, and here the disciples are just eating up his every word and can't wait to go out and execute the things that he's talking about doing. So that's kind of how the feeling was with Coach Wooden. He was not my friend. He was my father. He was my father figure, and he wanted us to know that from the beginning, that he was responsible. He had made a promise to my mother that he was going to take care of me and get me through school, and he only knew one way to do it. And that's the tone that I got the entire time under Coach Wooden.
I know the first time I met him is when UCLA was in a Final Four. It was down in Los Angeles, and I was a little bit intimidated as well, intimidated by him because of his reputation. I ran into him in a hallway after a semifinal game that they had won, and I said, Coach, you know, what did you like and what did you dislike about the game? And I'll never forget what he said to me. He looked at his stat sheet, and he says, you know, Ron, turnovers in basketball are like walks in baseball. They'll kill you every time.
That's right. That is so true. And you know, in our practice sessions, you know, we'd have 12 All-Americans in there. It got pretty competitive because everybody could flat out play, and everybody wanted those minutes. And so our practices were very, very intense. And that ball handling—I mean, we had two or three turnovers in a row. I turn it over, then we go back down the floor, and the guys playing against turn it over, and then we go back and we turn it. That's three. Let's go run Pauley Pavilion because you guys don't understand how important this ball is. So I'm going to imprint it in your brain. And so we quit playing basketball and start running.
You heard me.
We thought it was punishment, but, it, you know, we full-court pressed 40 minutes a game. So he was just doing what he normally did.
You heard me say about that 1968 team that had All-Americans, you being one of them, Lou Alcindor, and, of course, Mike Warren being the other. A lot of people do say that's the greatest team in men's college basketball history. What was the catalyst of the team's success?
Well, obviously, we had all the elements down. Believe it or not, our best overall player, his name was Edgar Lacy, And he had to come off the bench because the elements that the coach knew we needed were there. We had Lynn Shackelford, who could shoot the ball. He shot the ball 62% from the field that year, and he was second in the nation because Lou Alcindor shot 68%. We had quickness. Mike Warren and myself were probably the quickest two that I've seen on a basketball court together. And that there's been some great quickness in college basketball. Duke had some great guards, but I don't think any of them matched us as far as our quickness was concerned, which made us very, very effective as far as the full court press was concerned. The inside presence of a 7-footer that was, you know, jumping out the gym where his chest was above the rim intimidated anybody trying to come in and beat us from the inside. So we put heavy pressure on people and forced them to take bad shots from the outside. We sealed off the middle, which forced people into a running game with us. And I think we're responsible for that 30-second clock that they have nowadays, because the only way a team felt they had a chance to play against us that year was to stall, just not play basketball at all, just hold on to the ball.
Yeah, they would use the four corner and pass the ball around. And, you know, I saw some games where it was like 16-9 at halftime. Let me ask you about your senior year, because you were drafted the following year then by the Seattle Supersonics in the first round with the third pick of the NBA draft. But you were suspended for that senior year at UCLA for receiving a second citation for possessing a small quantity of marijuana. That is so the antithesis of what I'm hearing about you, Lucius. You're with your background and everything. What happened during that period of time?
Well, basically what happened is I was busted with marijuana the year before. And after I paid my penance and come back, apologized and did the whole nine yards, because in those days, marijuana was like a criminal. You're not like it is today. I'll just put it like that. And the second time was not me at all. Someone, I had a car. I'd gotten my new car. Couldn't believe it. And one of my friends from the night before had left this small package of marijuana in the glove compartment. I came home and parked my car and found out that I had a ticket. But in getting the ticket, it's a long story, they found this marijuana. So because the car was registered in my name, I had to take the brunt of all of the criticism and all of that. So I, knowing from the conversations that I had had with Coach Wooden the prior year, I knew that there was no way that I was going to be able to play on the basketball team the following year. So it was at that time that I did not get suspended. I just left the school and put my tail between my legs and decided that I was going to head back to Kansas and make sure that I had my basketball together and did all my practice and all my hard work, and took it upon myself to leave the UCLA family. I was not suspended, and didn't give anybody a chance to do any of that. I just left on my own accord. And the following year, based upon people knew, I think, that I wasn't a bad kid. I just got a terrible rap, and that's why I was the third player drafted, even though I didn't play my senior year.
You come into the league certainly with Seattle, and then Milwaukee, the Lakers, and Kansas City, and you had that split year. Is that when you averaged 19 points a game, when you split it between Milwaukee and the Lakers?
That is correct.
Yeah,
that is correct.
And it seemed like to me that everywhere Lou Alcindor went, so did Lucius Allen.
Like I say, I was very good about picking my teammates. You know, this guy, in my opinion, the greatest ever play his position. And, you know, of course, we have Wilt Chamberlain, and we've had some players, Akeem Olajuwon, I respect, and Shaq. But for me, you know, the big fella, he was the best. And 8 out of my 10 years, I was able to play with him. The 2 years that I didn't play with him, I averaged 19 points a game, 20 points a game, and less than 20 victories. So when he came around, victories total went up to above 50 every time. I think I better play with this guy and just do the things that I do very, very well in the team concept, as opposed to trying to be a prolific scorer.
The 1971 Milwaukee Bucks that won the championship, that gave you the championship ring, was the big O on that team as well?
Yes, he was. And that's an interesting story because Oscar was my idol growing up. And whenever I'd go out on the school grounds, I would be Oscar Roberts. That was me. At UCLA, my nickname was the O, because everybody knew on the team that Oscar Roberts was one of my favorites, and I was Lucius Oliver Allen, so I could be the mini-O with the UCLA squad. And to be able to win a championship with the person that you revered in your basketball life is something that can't be put into words. I mean, I was, as soon as I got to campus, I was up on the Oscar, tell me this. He said, man, get out of my face. You ask too many questions. You know, wherever he'd go, I'd be there. I learned about fine wine. I learned about how you have to be a professional. I learned how to hit the big shot, because Oscar, when he got the assist for you, you had better put it in the hole, or else you're going, you know, running down the floor. You're going to see those big eyes boring a hole into you. We worked together, lived together, you know. So to this day, Oscar is still Oscar. He's my man, the number one. I'm his number one fan. And to win that championship with him, it was pretty special with Lou Alcindor also, because we had done what we said we were going to do when we were in college. We said, man, we're going to the NBA. We'll do the same thing. And we did that in our second year in the NBA. So we kind of felt that whenever we stepped on the floor together, teams are going to suffer, and of course, to have Oscar Robertson, well, Bob Dandridge, I mean, he's a top 50 player. I mean, we really had a great team, even though we weren't very big.
We have about 90 seconds left, but talking about the Big O, and that is the fact that a lot of people may not be aware of it. He's the only player in NBA history that had a triple double for an entire season, and when I think that. About that, it just kind of blows me away. What was the one thing that he did that gave him such consistency?
Well, Oscar always came to play. People, we talk about Oscar's offense. Oscar was the strongest guard in the league, and he was the best defensive player in the league. Kind of like Michael Jordan was in his heyday, you know, when he was the Michael Jordan, on both ends of the floor. And Oscar's ability to take a game over in the last 2 minutes and never make a mistake is what I think is his biggest asset. You know, he never really played a bad game. Sometimes he'd be slow. Sometimes he wouldn't work as hard on the offensive end. But he always gave the great effort on the defensive end. And when the game was on the line, he was going to be the one that ran the show. We had Lou Alcindor. Everybody in the gym knew that, you know, the last shots of this game were going to be going to Lou Alcindor. We'd go over, and Larry Costello would call a timeout, and he'd say, well, we're going to run play number 54. You got to do this. And Oscar would say, forget all that. We walk out of the floor, I'd say, forget all that. Give me the ball. And that's how we had, I think it was 68 victories out of 82.
I think that's always the mark of the great player, when the game is on the line. And even Michael said that to me. He said, when the game's on the line, I want to be the one to determine the outcome. If I succeed, I want the glory. If I fail, I'll take the blame. And not everybody is comfortable with that. Lucius, I want to thank you very much for talking to us, not only about your great college career, where you were an All-American at UCLA and those championships back in 67 and 68, but then the way you looked upon your game when you got to the NBA. So you are welcome back here anytime. Please come back and visit us again here on Sports Byline.
Thank you for having me, Ron. I look forward to it.
Lucius Allen with us, 10 years in the NBA. Started out with Seattle, where he was the third overall pick in the draft, then Milwaukee, the Lakers, and Kansas City. And as you heard him say, 8 of his 10 years played with Lou Alcindor. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.